Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. As a reminder, listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. We always make it so easy. So in our final segment tonight, we're going to shift gears and we're going to take time for a book review. And for all of the baseball enthusiasts out there, you will definitely want to go out and get a copy of this book. It is titled The Pine Tar Game, The Kansas City Royals, The New York Yankees, and Baseball's Most Absurd and Entertaining Controversy. Of course, the author is Philip Bondi, and we are so excited to have you on the show on this Friday night. Good evening, Philip.
Good evening.
Well, it's time to turn back the hands of time to, what, 1983. I won't even say how old I was then. That's 32 years ago in that unforgettable baseball game between the Kansas City Royals and the New York Yankees. The Yankees and the Royals, they were, what, fierce rivals, and your book returns to this infamous moment and the game-winning home run that becomes a game loser. So, Philip, you were actually at the game. What happened?
Well, I was covering it. You know, I'm that old, unfortunately. I was a young sports writer,
right.
And I was covering the game, and then I covered the court hearings, and then I covered the resumption. So it was always in the back of my mind. But when it was happening, I remember that we were all very confused at first up in the press box, as was George Brett. I mean, we didn't know what was happening. Billy Martin was out there arguing and making his point with Tim McCullough, the umpire, and the umpires were huddling. And then when they measured the bat against the plate, then we started to figure this thing out. We remembered there was an obscure rule that said the pine tar can extend beyond 18 inches from the handle. And when they called out George Brett, we were privy to watching the greatest tantrum in sports history.
Is this something that's been on kind of your bucket list that you've wanted to do for some time?
I did. Because I was there, and because it was just so vivid in my mind. And then 2 years ago, George Brett came through New York as at the time he was the batting coach, the hitting coach for the Royals, because he kind of got tired of the trouble and quit that job. But he was the hitting coach right about at the anniversary, the 30th anniversary of the Pine Tar Game, and I interviewed him and wrote a story. But you know what? I decided that 800 words were not enough to tell this tale of all these characters involved, you know, Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner, Ewing Kauffman, George Brett, all these guys, and small market versus big market, and this fierce, fierce rivalry of the late 70s that I had remembered so clearly.
Sports columnist and author Philip Bondi is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are celebrating his latest release. It is titled The Pine Tar Game, The Kansas City Royals, The New York Yankees, and Baseball's Most Absurd and Entertaining Controversy. So kind of give us the backstory. Talk to us about George Brett, but he liked to put pine tar on his handle to what help his grip. Kind of give us some play-by-play. Break it down.
Yeah, he was a bat slob by his
okay.
own admission. And he liked, unlike a lot of today's players, you know, he didn't use batting gloves. He liked the feel of raw hand on raw bat. And he loved this particular bat because it was just seven grains, which most bats are 13, 14 grains. Mm-hmm. This was an extremely small, powerful bat, a strong, powerful bat, I'm sorry. And so he had used it for more than a month. And then when he used it, and for that length of time, the pine tar just kind of got massaged up and up and up. And according to a fellow who I talked to, Dean Vogelaar, who was the public relations director of the Royals at the time, the Royals were playing the Toronto Blue Jays before they played the Yankees, and Vogelaar said, "I probably remember this better than George does, but we were standing at the batting cage in Toronto, and George turned to me and said, 'I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to get away with this bat.'" Mm-hmm. So he had an inkling, though he didn't know the consequences.
Well, and I have to ask you, too, I mean, how big of an effect did this have on his bat in terms of, like, with distance?
Yeah, no, none at all, which is why Lee McPhail, the American League president, eventually did overturn the umpire's call and restored that home run, because pine tar does not have an effect on the distance or direction of a baseball, and where he hit the ball was high at the barrel of the bat where there was no pine tar. The only reason that the pine tar rule was in effect at all was because there had been some skinflint owners in the 1970s who didn't want to keep replacing baseballs after foul tips. They were getting dirty. And they didn't. It's hard to believe with the economy of baseball today that the owners were concerned back then about the price of a baseball, but that was the case.
And I think what's really cool, when I was going through the book, I mean, you really did provide some fresh insight in this book. Who were some of the folks that you interviewed and some of those in-depth profiles on with some of the players and coaches that you talked to?
Yeah, well I did talk to the players, Brett and Willie Randolph and Ron Guidry and Goose Gossage, who was the pitcher, threw the fastball that he meant to go, as he said, I meant to bury it in his neck, but it didn't work out that way. But I found it very interesting also to talk to some of the peripheral characters involved, who, you know, the officials on the team, on the two teams at the time, who were sort of insiders and saw the scenes, whether they were public relations interns or whether they were the general manager, John Scherholz, and the assistant, Dean Taylor. These were the guys that gave me insight, and then there were some very unusual characters involved. The late Roy Cohn from the Joe McCarthy hearings, he was the attorney for the Yankees, and I did interview at some length Rush Limbaugh. Limbaugh was the was actually the promotions director of the Royals at the time, which
That's
I didn't
right.
remember
okay.
because
yeah,
I guess
yeah.
he wasn't the Rush Limbaugh we know now. But he was, you know, he was responsible for digging up people to throw out the first baseball and to sing the national anthem.
Hey, sports columnist with the New York Daily News and author of his brand new book. Go ahead and get a copy of it. It's everywhere, Amazon.com. The Pine Tar Game, the Kansas City Royals, the New York Yankees, and baseball's most absurd and entertaining controversy. I know a while back you released a book on the NBA. Philip, we got to have you on. Let's talk some NBA and hoop it up too, okay? You're a great guest.
Yeah, still one of my favorite sports.
Absolutely. We saved the best for last. Philip Bondi's been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That, of course, was Philip Bondi, sports columnist and author of his new book, The Pine Tar Game. Want to take time to thank all of our amazing guests in our lineup. Patrick Livingston, CEO of National Golf Schools. Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB news and notes. Christian Dyer, he opened up tonight's program, of course, covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper, and he's a contributor right here at Yahoo Sports. Nancy Lieberman, the assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, and Peter Burns, SEC network host with ESPN. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports. And again, we would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at @eradiosports. We will see you next weekend.